You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. First, we take it to London, where we're joined by Patrick Colburn of The Independent. He's been writing about the situation in Syria. He has a piece from the 12th in The Independent called All the Evidence Points to Sectarian Civil War in Syria, but no one wants to admit it. Patrick Colburn, welcome back to Pacifica Radio.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you with us. We are seeing from the West, the United States is already talking about sort of another Libya, arming, beginning to arm, arming so-called opposition forces to the government. I want to get your initial take on what's going on there.
Well, I think that we're moving towards a very bloody sectarian civil war between with the Sunni Muslims on one side, or a large part of them, and the Alawite regime, which is a Shia sect of Bashar al-Assad, supported by the Christians and various others. I think that arming the opposition will just make that war bloodier and worse. You know, people talk about why not do the same as in Libya, but they completely forget that the reason Gaddafi fell was NATO air attacks. It wasn't the Libyan rebels. They wouldn't have lasted more than a day or two if it hadn't been for the mass air support of NATO. So I think we're looking towards an escalating civil war, which probably won't be confined to Syria.
All right, and talk a little bit more about the opposition forces. We're now hearing they're freedom fighters, as we did in Libya. They're supported by the people, by the majority. It's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, Syria isn't a homogenous society. You know, it is divided between different sects, as I mentioned, between the Sunni majority, although that's divided within itself. The Alawites are a form of Shia, the Christians, the Druze, the Kurds. And this society is splitting up, rather like, I think, as we saw in Iraq post-2003 with the horrendous results that tens, hundreds of thousands of people were slaughtered. I think the idea that it's just a dictatorial government on one side and an uprising of the people on the other is very simple-minded. If it was that, the situation would be much easier.
All right. Talk a little bit about the real politics here. We know that Israel is ready to attack Iran. We know that Israel wants to get rid of Hezbollah. We know that the supply route goes through Syria to Hezbollah. And really what Israel seems to be focused on more than Iran is that whole structure of keeping Hezbollah as a strong force to restrain Israel.
Yes, I think that, you know, one of the reasons that the war in Syria is likely to be prolonged and bloody is that you have a number of conflicts, different conflicts going on at the same time. You have Sunni against Shia. You have a lot of people rising up against the dictatorial regime. But at the same time, remember, the opposition is backed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, so which are among the few absolute monarchies left in the world. So it's not just democracy against a dictatorship. You know, why are they going for trying to overthrow the Syrian regime? Well, partly as a second best to overthrowing the government of Iran. Syria is the main ally of Iran. If they can get rid of Syria, there's no doubt that's a very damaging blow to the government in Tehran. So you have all these different complicated conflicts coming together, and that's why the situation is not only so explosive, but why it's exploding at the moment.
All right, and Talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton's role in this. She has been outspoken. She's chiding the Russians. She's chiding the Chinese. She's calling them everything short of, in league with mass murder, or in fact, she is saying that. So how does the U.S. come into this? What is the U.S. interested in doing here from your perspective?
Well, I think they'd quite like the regime in Syria to fall, but that will be a blow to Iran. At the same time, I think that they can see probably that, what they're facing at the moment is a long-running civil war, like we saw in Iraq in 2006-07. And as we saw in Lebanon earlier, we're not seeing a sort of clean success. And I think that makes them nervous. It makes them nervous of playing arms to the opposition at the moment, though that, Saudi Arabia and Qatar are saying they'll do just that. But, it's sort of, I don't think that, you may have areas of Syria that come under the control of the opposition, but you'll have areas that remain controlled by the government. So we're not looking at a clean-cut victory by either side. We're just looking at a more and more and bloodier sectarian conflict.
And so do you see that this expanding sectarian conflict that you're talking about, where will that lead? What are the dangers? What's that worst-case scenario that comes out of that?
I think the worst case is that it gets, that a lot of people get killed and it doesn't end, that nobody wins. Even if Assad went at this moment, personally went, and his family went, then, the people, the community he comes from, the Christians, I don't think they're necessarily going to run up the white flag because they're frightened of having their throats cut. They see the Christians, for instance, see what happened in Baghdad, the sort of Sunni opposition that they're facing, often linked to Al-Qaeda, regard them as heretics who should be hunted down and killed. So I don't think just getting rid of Assad at this stage is going to resolve the conflict. I think that these attacks on Russia, okay, but, what one really would, and I think the chances are pretty small, getting smaller and smaller, is that instead of seeing this as, way of hitting at Iran and so forth, which means that Iran and Russia will give support to Assad to the end, that they need to bring them in to a degree to see if there can be any resolution, if this can be quieted down. Otherwise, it's escalating by the week.
And just sort of a quick overview of the region. So we see all of this going on in Syria. We see U.S. forces burning the Quran in Afghanistan, high U.S. officers being assassinated in places where they thought they were incredibly secure. We see the saber rattling turning into a near war. You've got U.S. officials already talking about Israel invading, by summer. So your analysis of this sort of unraveling, I guess, of Western hegemony in the region?
I think that, is there going to be an attack on Iran? I don't think it's quite certain yet, the rhetoric is escalating to some degree. The threat of war is in order to get the Europeans and the others in line to impose stringent economic sanctions. If they do launch an attack, will they? Will they be able to know if they've hit things they want? U.S. intelligence says that Iran hasn't actually decided to make a nuclear device yet. If they do attack, then the Iranians certainly will decide that they're going to make one, and at some point they'll succeed. So it is likely to be counter-effective. In Afghanistan, you can see things are unraveling, both the center plank of U.S. and its allies' policy, is to mentor the Afghan army so they can make Afghan institutions more powerful and self-sufficient, particularly the security institutions. And that will enable them to withdraw from their troops from conflict by next year, from combat by next year, according to Leon Panetta, and then leave Afghanistan. But how are they going to mentor Afghan troops or security people if they don't, you know, dare be in the same office as them? They've withdrawn all their advisors from the Afghan ministers because they're frightened that the next person through their office door will shoot them. So, you know, it's not an easy dilemma to conclude. I think with all the excitement over Syria, that what's happening in Afghanistan hasn't quite received the attention it ought to. But what we're seeing there is the unraveling of a whole policy.
All right. Patrick Coburn of the Independent of London joining us from London. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.